today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Stop fighting each other and start preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, sharing your testimony. It's a wrong emphasis. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will do great things. How should we share our testimony? Here's three things that we ought to know. One, humbly. Humbly share your testimony because you're not better than the person you're sharing with. You're not better than them. You are a sinner just like them. Here's a good picture. It's like this. You are a beggar telling another beggar where to get food. That's it.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As Christians, we often major on the minors. What does that mean? We often put a wrong emphasis on matters of Christian life that simply have room for personal conviction. What if we stopped fighting about these things and made the active decision to share our personal testimonies with those around us? There's no way you can argue with a person's testimony. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew with our continuing study entitled, If I Keep My Eyes on Jesus.
He also ministered to a group of people he used to hate, the Gentiles. Everything he did said that Gentiles were nothing. They were lost. They were going to be like kindling fire or kindling logs for the fires of hell. And now he has a heart for them. In fact, he's sent to them by the will of God, and he's taken some of his pummelings because he's ministering to them. And that's a man who's got his eyes on Jesus. So you're not really convincing me to follow Jesus with all these beatings and stuff. Well, not everyone is going to endure these things. However, Paul would tell you, and anyone who's ever been martyred or died for the cause of Christ, they will tell you it's worth it because they are standing before him now having fulfilled their will. And they'll say, there was nothing that I gave up on earth, that I sacrificed on earth, that wasn't worth it. In fact, I wish I'd have given more of myself to the Lord. So how do we keep our eyes on Jesus today? Obviously, we're not getting in boats and looking out in the storm for someone walking on the water who will say, come. So how do we practically keep our eyes on Jesus? Well, first, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to read your word. It is what reveals him to us. It's how we get to know him. Many people have many ideas. Hey, let's go back to the garden scenario. I know what's right for me. I know what's right. I know what Jesus would say. I know. Look, until you know your Bibles, you're going to be very confused by what everyone says would be and wouldn't be tolerable and what's Jesus and what isn't. You need to know your Bible because it teaches you who he is. So read the scriptures. We are spiritual beings. And there's a principle that says what you feed will grow. Hey, you feed your teenagers, oh, pew, they grow, right? Some of them like bottomless pits. They're really growing. But if you feed your spirit, then you'll grow spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to feed the spirit. But if you feed your flesh, your fleshly cravings, and I'm not just talking about food, I'm talking about your desire for success. You're driven for success, and I'm reading books about success. And if you feed that portion of you, that's the portion that's going to be the most alive. If you lust and you feed the lust, that's the part, I can't beat it. You keep feeding it. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. But if you feed the spirit, then it will grow stronger. You will become more spiritual. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For who or whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What do you mean God is not mocked? Well, because so many sow to the flesh and then pray for God to do all of the spirit stuff. Lord, help me to grow in knowledge. Lord, give me the gift of this and give me the gift. Use me, Lord, while I'm sowing to the flesh. That's mocking God. You want to produce a harvest? You want to grow in your faith? Then sow, because God is not mocked. What you sow, that you will reap. So sow to the Spirit. Take in His Word. If Peter doesn't respond to Jesus' Word, he doesn't walk on the water. And so more than just reading the Word, you've got to respond to the Word. James, in James chapter 1, said, "Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." This one. You know what a mirror is for, right? A mirror is usually to check us, to see if there's something wrong. So you look in the mirror to see if there's something that needs to be adjusted. And usually there is something that can be adjusted. I know there are some, they look in the mirror and they think, "I thought it was just to show me how awesome I was." That's not what it's there for. There's something to be fixed. But you look in the mirror and you find the things that are wrong. The Bible, the Word of God, is like that mirror. It tells you some things that are wrong. Did you know that? Did you know that? Because I've been told that really I should not talk about sin. I should not talk about negative things. Only positive, encouraging, uplifting things. But did you know when you get in the Word of God, it actually exposes some things in you that aren't good, that really do need to be changed? In fact, they're, well, sin. Oh, you didn't hear? Sin. They're sin. We talk about sin here because the Bible does. They're things that cause us to follow the course of this world. And the Bible brings those things to life. And yeah, they're kind of offensive. And trust me, as a pastor, as a messenger, a carrier of the gospel, I hate offending. I hate bringing truth to somebody that I know is going to offend. I wish Jesus would just show up everywhere and just from the pulpit teach. He'd do a much better job. I wouldn't have to be the messenger. And neither would you. But that is the call that we have, right? It's just the truth, and all we do is bear it. But we need to bear it in love, and we need to respond to the truth. If people don't get the truth, they don't change. For instance, debt is a problem. You know, it's not the way, it's like normal now, but debt is not the way we're supposed to live. I understand the price of homes. You got to take out a loan. I mean, very few are going to walk up with their wallet and pull out the cash for their home. So we have a loan, something we can afford, in a home. Vehicles, I don't know what to say about that. I walked in there and they're starting to cost more than my house. So I'm thinking next time I'm just going to get a nice vehicle and live in it. Get rid of our house. I can take that thing anywhere, except for gas prices. So actually maybe it is cheaper to have a house. But things are going up. And there are times we need to take out a loan if necessary for those essential things. But I'm not talking about that as much as I am talking about living on credit cards and living in debt. Saying that God has blessed you with stuff that really Visa and MasterCard and everyone else really blessed you with, that you still have to pay and you didn't have the money to pay. God blessed me with this. Oh man, where'd the money come from? A credit card. What? Well, do you have the money for it? No, I'm just trusting God for it. You know, and the world looks at us and they hate the word faith, because our faith to them means I want money and I may or may not be able to pay you back, but God bless you. That's what they see. That's why the institutions don't like to lend to churches. Did you know that? The church has a bad reputation. Is that faith? That's not the faith we're to walk in. Blind, I hope God does it kind of faith. So we need to read the Word. We need to respond the word, doing things the right way. And then we also need to resist the world. Resist the world. Why did Peter sink? Well, he took his eyes off Jesus. And when you take your eyes off Jesus, guess what? You don't go blind all of a sudden. You're going to fix your eyes somewhere else. They're going to be put on something. Some people say, well, I don't want to be all about Jesus. Everything Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, okay. Where are you going to put your eyes otherwise? Because if you're taking your eyes and you're putting on lustful things and spending all of your time doing that, or you're looking and shopping online for all kind of things that you can't afford and you're doing that, I think it's better just be all Jesus all the time. Be in the Word. Serve the Lord. I mean, do those things that will keep you out of trouble. Fix your eyes on Him, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Because the other stuff, if it just gets you in trouble and keeps you from being close to Him, keeps you from being in the deep with Him, what good are they? So we need to resist the world. Temptations will consume you if your eyes are on them. You can't overcome them. But greater is He who is in me. Yeah, but you keep looking at them. You keep staring. You keep thinking. You keep gravitating. You're sowing to the flesh. But greater is He who is in me. Then get your eyes on Jesus. Problems will overwhelm you if you keep your eyes on them. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, though, you'll overcome these things. And you'll find yourself walking by faith. As a result, you'll find yourself in places where, listen, this is important, you are no longer the needy one, the one everyone's having to minister to. You will actually become a person people are looking to for help. You will become somebody who is ministering to others right alongside Jesus. That's what happens with the disciples after they get through this episode. In verse 34, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized Him, they sent out into all that region, the surrounding region, brought to Him all who were sick, and begged Him that they should or might only touch the hem of His garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. When you get through the storms, you are equipped to serve with Jesus. People will say, can Jesus do this? And you'll say, yes, He can. How do you know? You should have seen the storm He got us through. He walked on the water for us. He did. This is what happened. And it unfolded. And you will be an encourager, an overcomer, because you kept your eyes on Jesus. And now you're serving alongside, doing what He wants to do. It's amazing how many times you can look back, and when you come through the difficulties in life, you look back and you can see the hand of God. It's amazing. Go, wow. Of course, then we kind of go a step further than we should. Then we try to figure out God. Oh, he was doing this. Oh, so He must be. Okay, that's, we need to stop that part right there. Not the must be. Just know where you're at. And trust that God is able to get you where He wants you to be if you keep your eyes on Him. Today, we can see clearly what the world cannot see. What I mean is the conflict in Israel. They say it's so complicated, so hard. It's not that complicated. God gave land. He established them. He has a purpose in all of this. And one day He's going to bring His purpose all the way through, and is for the salvation of souls, to redeem man. And so He's got a purpose for that land and for that people to exist and to be there. It was nothing. You know, in 1948, when they received that land, it was deserted. It was nothing. Nobody wanted it. That's why the Arab nations said, well, okay, they can have that. It's like saying, all right, they can have the swamp over there. If we got to give something, there they go. Israel said, hey, it's the land of promise. It's land. God will be there. And they've turned that into a very lush. I mean, God just blesses them. I don't understand it. I've been there. They put out more produce. I mean, it's just amazing. That land that used to be rubbish left to deteriorate. But now, you know, they want it back. They don't really, it's not that they want it back. They just don't want the Jews to exist. We knew that would happen because the Bible says. So we're not surprised by it. The strong, aggressive agenda of certain groups, particularly the homosexual agenda. Hey, let me just say first off the top here, I think everyone should have the right to speak up about what they believe. That's the freedom of speech. But when a group rises up and hates another group and wants to quash everything about them, there's something wrong with that. And that's exactly what happens when sinful groups rise up and the world doesn't see it. But I bet you can if you know your Bible. I bet you can see it for what it is. It's not us against them. It's not good people and bad people. You know, they're good people that are sinners. In fact, you're a sinner. Maybe that's not your choice. You've got the things that you're involved in, and they're sin before God. But when a group rises up and is so aggressive, it says something. And as Christians, when you read the Word of God, you can see that that's exactly what would happen. The fires, the drought that we're experiencing, the fires at an all-time high in this country, the drought all-time high in this country, disease outbreaks. Now, we could, as just casual observers in this world, we could say, oh man, that's so scary. What's going on in the world? What's happening? But when you know the Scriptures, and your hope is in Christ, and you know we're just passing through this life, you go, you know what? The Bible has the answers for all this. God said this was going to happen. It's like we have the book, we've looked in the back for the answers, and we go, okay, I don't like some of it, but okay, I get it, I see. And we understand everything that's going on when you know your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, then, well, you're going to be afraid. You're going to be concerned. You're not going to walk by faith. And you'll have a hard time ministering to others. See, as we learn about God's plan and it unfolding, we're able to minister to people who seem to have no hope. Just like Jesus came and ministered to those who needed healing. We understand. And we can give them hope. God has given you a testimony. If you're a Christian today, if you're a believer, maybe it's been easy, you grew up in a Christian home. For many, though, it's not the case. You grew up in difficult circumstances where everything might seem against you and your parents weren't Christians, but somehow you heard the voice of the Lord slowly over time through different people, through different encounters, and finally, one day, you come to faith, your faith, not your parents' faith, not someone else's faith, but your faith. And Jesus becomes real and you set your eyes upon Him. And when that happens, you have a testimony. You may have a past. I know, I don't know the woman, but I saw a video testimony of a woman who she was in the homosexual lifestyle. She was an avid agenda against everything the church stands for sure, and she had tattoos like homo on one side and just all kind of stuff. Her face was tattooed up with these emblems of what she believed and what she wanted to express, and she is today a Christian. She still has the tattoos. A little extreme to, you know, undo some of those things, but she still has the tattoos, but she says, these are my testimony. This is what God's done in my life, where He's brought me from. You have a testimony. What is it? And God has commissioned you to share it with others. It's not a suggestion, you know. We are to share our testimony and witness the gospel. Instead of arguing about education, qualifications, you know, what denomination or Bible versions, that seems to be a big one today. What Bible version? You know, that's kind of like, we have the answer. We have the fire hose to put out the fire in a world that's dying, right? And while we have the answer, we have the gospel, we're going to give it to them. It's the gospel. It's your testimony. It's something that gives them hope. While we have all of that, we're arguing about which hose to use while they're dying in flames. All I can say about that one is we got to stop it. Stop fighting each other and start preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, sharing your testimony. It's a wrong emphasis. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will do great things. How should we share our testimony? Here's three things that we ought to know. One, humbly. Humbly share your testimony because you're not better than the person you're sharing with. You're not better than them. You are a sinner just like them. Here's a good picture. It's like this. You are a beggar telling another beggar where to get food. That's it. So keep that in mind when you're sharing with someone else. And it's not a dialogue, or it's not a monologue, excuse me. It's not a monologue. You sharing everything, telling everything, directing everything. It's a dialogue. Listen to them. Where are they coming from? They got a story. Listen and share. And it's not about winning an argument. We're called to win souls. Then we're to do it with passion. So humbly, but also with passion. It's a shame when you hear some people tell the story of their former life and it's more exciting than their church life. They say, oh man, when I was in sin, I was out there and I did these things and I did this. And it was, oh, we laughed and we had fun. Boy, we had fun out there and I did this and nobody had, and my friends and I had like three girlfriends. And they didn't know each other. And that was the old life. That was the old life. So but now I gave my life to the Lord. Yeah, what do you do now? I go to church. What? What else? Well, I pick up my cross daily and die to myself. That's church? Yeah, and we wonder why people take this attitude to getting saved. Okay, I want heaven, but I don't want what you have. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to live my life having fun, and at the end of it, I'll give my life to the Lord and get the heaven stuff. But church and picking up your cross, I don't understand that one. No, what they need is inspiration. They need a life that's walking on the water, living for the glory of God. You're in the deep. Man, you're amazing. How do you do that? Well, let me tell you, this is not me. I think that was the testimony Paul was sharing when he said, hey, it's not me. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Who's doing these amazing things? It's not me. I'm in the deep. And we ought to share with purpose. The purpose of sharing the gospel is not to convert them. Please note this. Some share the gospel like they want to get them, convince them, win the argument, change them, clean them up, and make them a pastor in like a week. That's not the goal of sharing your faith. The goal is this simple, to help them see Jesus. They're already going through trials. They're already going through struggles. God has already ministered to them. He's already saved them from certain things. That's their past. You've had a past. So now your job is to simply help them see Jesus. He's already talking. He's already doing things. He's already trying to get their attention. Now you just got to say, oh man, that was the Lord. He's given you an opportunity. Oh, that the Lord, maybe the Lord has brought you here. Listen for the voice of the Lord. Have you read His word? Help them to see Jesus. That's our job. And they will see Him. So in closing, you will overcome fear if you keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll do great things. You'll walk by faith and you will be a witness. Someone will ask you, can Jesus heal me? Can Jesus get me through this? And you will be able to say yes.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock, in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. Look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.